John chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. John chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. Now the Bible says in this passage, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" Now the topic of this message today is simplifying the new birth. Simplifying the new birth. You see, in the passage that we just studied yesterday, Jesus had just told Nicodemus in verse 7, "Ye must be born again." And he could probably see the bewildered look on Nicodemus' face because Nicodemus had never heard such a thing. So Jesus simplified the new birth for Nicodemus, and in so doing, we see the typical response of most people the first time they hear the scripture, "Ye must be born again." In this lesson, we see the new birth. Jesus Christ is simplifying the new birth. And when he does that, he tells us, first of all, about the new birth, that it is typified. We're going to see the new birth typified. We're going to see the new birth questioned. We're going to see the new birth prophesied. We're going to see the new birth preached. And we're going to see the new birth disbelieved. He's going to simplify it, but because Nicodemus can't understand it at first, he's not going to believe it at first. So, in this lesson, we're going to see the new birth typified. Look in verse 8. Jesus Christ gives a type for Nicodemus so that Nicodemus can kind of get a grasp of the concept of the new birth. He said, "You must be born again." And then verse 8, he says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." So Jesus Christ likens the work and the birth of the Holy Spirit to wind. And that's to help Nicodemus understand how the new birth works. Jesus Christ often taught by types in the Bible. He said to his disciples, "I'm going to follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men." And in so doing, he likened men to fish. And there's a lot that you can learn about soul winning and about the new birth when you consider a fisherman and when you consider men as fish. One time, Jesus Christ healed a blind man, and the blind man said, "I see men walking as trees." That's very significant, because the wicked is likened to a bay tree, and a righteous man is likened to a palm. And children are likened to cedars around the palace there. Jesus Christ taught his disciples by likening himself to a rock, and that's very important because that allows us to then cross-reference through the Bible other references to him as a rock. Jesus Christ told his disciples that they were sheep and considered himself a shepherd, and he taught by that type. He taught the woman at the well about living water, likening eternal life to living water. And on and on and on the Bible goes, Jesus Christ using types and metaphors and allegories to be able to teach spiritual truth. Here, Jesus Christ likens the work of the Holy Spirit in the new birth to wind. And I say, why would that be significant? Well, if you go back and you check some references in the Old Testament, it becomes very clear why he would do that. Go to Genesis chapter 2 as an example, and look at verse 7. This has to do with the creation of Adam. Genesis chapter 2, look at verse 7. "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." Okay. At that point, he is like a mannequin in a clothing store. Looks like a man. And he's got skin and all that kind of stuff. Bone, sinew, muscle, all that kind of stuff. But he's just formed from the dust of the ground. "And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Notice in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, we actually see three parts of the man. We see his body, and then we see the breath into his nostrils, which is the breath of life, which is his spirit, and then we see that he becomes a living soul. So in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, when Paul describes the complete being of a man saved by Jesus Christ, he describes a spirit, a soul, and a body. Well, the spirit then is likened to the breath of life that's in the man that causes him to have life, and when God takes the breath, the man dies. As the body without the spirit is dead, the Bible says. Now, Nicodemus would have the Old Testament by this time, so Genesis 2:7 is something that Nicodemus would know. He would also know Ezekiel chapter 37, so turn there. Ezekiel chapter 37, and notice this. Here, Ezekiel is told to prophesy to the valley of dry bones. And when he does, the bones come together, but there's no breath in them. There's flesh upon them, there's skin, and all that kind of stuff. And then he says, I'm going to put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Right? Now, when he decides to put the breath in them so that they would live and know that Jesus Christ is the Lord, look what the Bible says in verse 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the what? He said, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Now, that's interesting. So, the Lord likens the work of the Spirit in the new birth to wind blowing. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So when Jesus Christ uses wind to describe the Spirit, he's describing something that concerns breath, the breath of God that gives life to a human being. Now in Acts chapter 2, something that Nicodemus didn't have at the time, we see something. Because, I mean, after all, John has recorded the discourse between Jesus Christ and Nicodemus for us so that we'll understand the new birth. And then we find this in Acts chapter 2. The initial evidence of the Holy Spirit showing up when the disciples are in the upper room was what? You say, well, it was speaking in tongues. No, not actually. If you look in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, you'll see what it is. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came what? A sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. So we have then the work of the Spirit likened to wind. And in fact, you find that in Ezekiel chapter 37. You find that in Acts chapter 2. You even find it with the breath of God in Genesis chapter 2. So it's the right type. It fits. It's something that God gives to Nicodemus and John records for us so that we can understand something that's spiritual, something that's not physical, something that we cannot see. And you know, this work that he's talking about here concerns birth. He says, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. All right, well, how did Jesus Christ come into this earth? Well, he was born. That's true. Well, who was his father? You say, Joseph. No, Joseph was not actually his father. Joseph was his stepfather or his foster father, but he wasn't his physical father. And we know from Luke chapter 1, verse 35, how in fact Jesus Christ came into this earth. The angel answered and said to Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So the birth of Jesus Christ, the conception in the womb of Mary, is a divine conception that is given to her by whom? By the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So the birth of Jesus Christ himself is a birth that is given by the Holy Spirit. And when it concerns a new birth, that is to you and I, it is a birth also of the Holy Spirit. And in this case, it's not something that can be seen. It's something that is more like wind. And you might be asking yourself the question right now, well, why would I need to be born again? Well, the truth of the matter is you're born really in Adam's image. You're born of your earthly father and of your earthly mother, but spiritually you are dead and separated from God. Now, of course, at the time, Nicodemus didn't know that. He didn't have what we have that Paul revealed to us in Ephesians chapter 2. But, of course, he had the Lord Jesus Christ right there to talk to him. Now, Paul tells us more about it. In Ephesians 2, Paul says, "You hath he quickened," that is, to make alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." So we need a new birth because our physical birth, while it gives us physical life that soon terminates in death and a grave, it cannot give us spiritual life. And so Paul says, we were dead in trespasses and sins. That's why Paul tells us in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, he says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of," watch it, "regeneration." You see, when people want to go in and study their ancestry, they go back through and they look at their genealogies and they look at their generations. Well, when you want to study somebody's birth in God, you have to look at his regeneration. And Paul goes on to say, "and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." So this is a spiritual work that is done by the Holy Spirit that is likened to wind. So first of all, then, as Jesus Christ simplifies the new birth for Nicodemus, he simplifies the new birth by typifying it, or we see here the new birth typified. Well, you can understand Nicodemus's bewilderment. He's going to still be a little bit unsure of himself after hearing these things from Jesus Christ. So the second thing that we see about the new birth in this text is we see the new birth questioned. And that's the very typical response of most people the first time they hear about the new birth. We see the new birth questioned. Look in verse 9. John chapter 3, verse 9, "Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be?" Now, I don't know how much experience you have in trying to lead souls to the Lord Jesus Christ or how much experience you've had in trying to witness to people. Probably soon after you got saved, you went to your mother and your father and said, "Oh, I've found the greatest thing in the world. I'm born again. You need to be born again." And they looked at you like, "Well, what happened to my child?" And soon the discussion probably turned to something religious. And pretty soon, as you were explaining what you thought was now very simple, the person you were talking to said, "Yeah, but what about so-and-so?" Well, that's kind of like Nicodemus's response here. He said, "How can these things be?" You know what it's like? It's like what we found in Mark chapter 2. Turn there real quick if you can. Turn Mark chapter 2 and look at verse 8. Jesus Christ has healed, or is getting ready to heal, a man that is sick of the palsy. But before he does, he says, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Of course, the reason the men brought him there was to get him to no longer be sick with the palsy. But he got something greater at first. He got forgiven. Now watch what happens in Mark chapter 2, verse 8. "Immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves," they thought that, he couldn't forgive sins, "he said to them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed, and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed, go thy way, and into thy house." And the guy's healed. You know something about Nicodemus that you might have forgotten, but I'll remind you from yesterday's lesson. When he came to Jesus Christ at night, he said to him, "Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." So as the men had seen a miracle when the sick of the palsy was healed, so likewise Nicodemus had been seeing the miracles of Jesus Christ. He knew he was a teacher sent from God. But when he was presented with the offer of new birth, he questioned the thing. He said, "I don't understand this. How can this happen?" You know what his real problem was? It's the same problem that everybody else has the first time they hear about it. He was trying to make it physical. I mean, when he asked Jesus Christ about the new birth, he said, "Can a man, when he is old, enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Most people try to find a way to make the thing physical, and that's why religion is so popular, because it has physical creeds. Do things. Come to church. Do good things to your neighbor. Pray a rosary. Be baptized. come faithfully, whatever the case may be, whatever the religious background you may have, trying to get the things down to an earthly set of rules that you can do. Well, you're not going to be able to do that with the new birth. It can't really be fully explained by physical things. It can only be typified, like by the wind. For instance, I remember flying on an airplane one time, and a fellow asked me, he said, he saw me reading my Bible. He was somebody that had been witnessed to by somebody else before. He hadn't gotten saved. And he said to me, can you explain the Trinity? I believe the fellow was from Japan. He said, can you explain the Trinity? Well, I told him not exactly, but I could give you some things that would help you to perceive the Trinity, some types. And I said, you know, I'm one man, but I'm a father, I'm a husband, and I'm a son. I have three different capacities, and yet I'm the same man. And he quickly said, yeah, but you were born. And Jesus Christ, apparently, as God, had no beginning. I said, well, it's like the sun. And then I explained the actinic rays and the light rays and the heat rays and how the various parts of the Trinity are explained by those things. And he said, yeah, but still the sun supposedly was created, and I want you to explain to me. He said, if you can explain to me the Trinity, then I will believe Jesus Christ and be saved. And I said, well, you're not going to ever get an answer. Nobody can fully explain the Trinity. You simply have to believe that it is so. And I said, and the failure to believe that, or the failure to believe Jesus Christ, causes a man to wind up in the lake of fire. And I described that to him. You know what he did when I described that to him? I was sitting in the middle seat. He was sitting in the aisle. He shot up out of his seat, walked to the back of the plane, and for the next 2 hours stood back there where their stewardesses were serving beverages and food and would never return to his seat. And the problem is he was afraid of the lake of fire, but he still wanted somebody to be able to explain something physically that could not be explained physically. That basically was Nicodemus's problem. And I mean, Jesus Christ explains to the disciples about having to eat his flesh and drink his blood, and that bewildered them. The Jews therefore strove among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They asked. In another place, Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, and he said unto them, doth this offend you? Listen, you don't have to have God explain every detail of the new birth for you to be able to believe simply that by receiving Jesus Christ you can have it, and neither did Nicodemus. But not only do we see in this text the new birth typified and the new birth questioned, but we also see the new birth prophesied. Look again in verse 10 of the text, John chapter 3, verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Now, wait a minute. How could Jesus Christ have expected Nicodemus to know something about the new birth when supposedly he had never heard anything about it before? Well, the reason that he could expect him to do that is because as a master, Nicodemus, and as a Pharisee, should know something of the Old Testament, and actually there are things about the new birth that a man could conclude under the leadership of the Holy Spirit based upon what the Bible says in the Old Testament. In other words, Jesus Christ was saying to him, Nicodemus, you ought to know better. Well, let's take a look at some things in the Old Testament that might have helped Nicodemus to understand this. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the very coming of the Lord Jesus Christ was by a virgin birth. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. You know, we found out later is being interpreted, God with us. Well, Nicodemus, knowing that, should understand then that God somehow would miraculously conceive his son in the womb of a virgin. That would be a spiritual process, a spiritual birth. Look again in Psalm 22. Psalm 22, if you're acquainted with it, is a psalm that is specifically about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. The very first verse is something that Jesus Christ quoted on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And other things in the chapter, as you read, will disclose to you that this is about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, verse 18, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Now look how the psalm ends. The psalm ends in verses 30 and 31, a seed shall serve him. Well, you know what a seed is. That's a generation. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be, look at it, born that he hath done this. So the the Old Testament prophesies a seed as a result of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, a generation, a people that shall be born. Look in Isaiah 53. You know Isaiah 53. That's the chapter on the suffering servant. Talks all about Jesus Christ. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Well, have you ever studied verses 8 and 10 of that same chapter? Isaiah 53:8 said he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare what? His generation. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Well, those things show up all through the Old Testament. Psalm 89, verses 27 and 29 actually talk about his children. So it's not so important that you understand how all of this stuff is done. It's just important that you believe what is written. And that's basically where he was turning Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you ought to know better than this. This stuff's in there. You're a master. So can you believe what Jesus Christ has said here for yourself? I mean, listen, we've seen already in this passage the new birth typified. We've seen the new birth questioned. We've seen the new birth prophesied. Listen, we also see in this text the new birth preached. Look at verse 11. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak. It's what I'm doing with you right now. That we do know and testify. That's what I'm doing right now. That we have seen. What's the problem? You receive not our witness. Jesus Christ was speaking to him. Jesus Christ was testifying to him. And Nicodemus should have responded to the preaching, should have received what he was hearing. Now, Jesus Christ didn't say, I speak that I do know, and I testify that I've seen. He says, we speak. Well, who's he talking about? Well, John the Baptist, for instance. John the Baptist says later on in the same chapter in verse 32, what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, no man receiveth this testimony. John the Baptist testified that the dove lighted upon the Lord Jesus Christ at his baptism, and a voice from heaven spoke, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Scripture testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 5, verse 39, something that Nicodemus should have been acquainted with. He says, search the Scripture, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And know something else for sure. The Holy Spirit would be bearing witness to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ right there on the spot when Jesus Christ was preaching. When the Holy Spirit comes to us, the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth who proceedeth from the Father. And what's he going to do? He shall testify of me. You see, the things we know, that I know today, that I'm talking to you about, I know these things. Why? Because they're revealed by the Holy Spirit in the words of truth. The words of God are certain words, and they simply need to be received and believed. I mean, take, for instance, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, that says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, not hope, not think, but that you may know that you have eternal life. You read that to somebody who doesn't have eternal life, who's depending upon their good works or the faith in their church, and they don't know. They say they hope they go to heaven. They think they might go to heaven, but they don't know. You know what the problem is? They have not received the testimony, the preaching of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I know it's true. Why? I've read it. I know it's true and have seen it because I've seen the changes in my life and in the life of other people. So what's the conclusion then? Well, you've seen the new birth typified. What's it like? It's like the wind. You've seen the new birth question. Somebody who was trying to reason it out in his head couldn't quite figure it because he wasn't willing to just accept what Jesus Christ said. So Jesus reminded him that it had been prophesied and pointed him to things in the Old Testament. And then Jesus Christ was right there preaching it to him, just like I'm right here preaching it to you. What's the last thing that we see then in the text? We see the new birth disbelieved. The new birth disbelieved. Look at verse 12. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? See, Nicodemus had difficulty, at least at this time. I believe later you'll see that Nicodemus actually came around and was born of God. I think that he came around, became a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was there to bury his body. He was there to stand up for him in John chapter 7 when the Pharisees wanted to destroy him without a trial. But he said, here said he, you receive not our witness, and you believe not. Isn't that something? That's the whole problem with the new birth. It's not your ability to understand it or not understand it. The problem with the new birth is your failure to believe what God said. And truthfully, according to what you read here, there is no new birth for any man, woman, or child on the face of this earth unless they are willing to believe what Jesus Christ said. And that's why we say this is the simplicity of the new birth. He simply wants you to believe that you personally can be born again. So, okay, great. You know what? I want to be born again. Then how am I going to make that happen? You don't. Remember verse 8? The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You know what you do? You simply humble yourself before the Lord Jesus Christ, and you admit to him, listen, Lord, I realize now that my first birth is not good enough to get me into heaven, no matter what I do with it. No matter how religious or successful or anything else I am in this earth, no matter even how much I believe in God, I realize now my first birth is a birth that simply leads to a grave and eventually to the lake of fire if I'm not saved. And I realize I have no righteousness of my own. So right now, I bow before your throne and I ask you to make me born again by the Lord Jesus Christ. Though I don't understand everything there is to know about it, I'm willing to trust that if you will make me born again, in fact, I'll be born again because of what Jesus Christ did for me by shedding his blood on Calvary. Now, if you'll do that, seriously, the Holy Spirit will honor that, and you'll be born again.